Okay, we are starting on page 294, Simon Chinchof Aleph, Se'if Hey. Page 294, Simon Chinchof Aleph, Se'if Hey. Asa Nimlayach Basa Mevushal, Oy Beitza Mevusheles, Lanicha. You're not allowed to salt cooked meat or cooked egg to leave it there to preserve it. We spoke in the earlier Sif about salting raw eggs, uncooked eggs, and we said that's not really a problem, but to salt cooked meat or cooked egg is a problem. Says Mishnah Berurah, the bottom of the page, Sifkon Chafalev, Asalim Layach, you're not allowed to salt. We just pointed out that which we permitted, salting an egg before, that's when you need it for the upcoming, for the meal that you're in. But to do it for later on, you're salting meat or salting egg because you want to eat it later on. Then that is like preserving, pickling, and that would be asa. So rather than the chilek that I said before, which was raw and cooked, he's saying, no, it's about the amount of time you plan on leaving it. If you plan on leaving it for a short amount of time, meaning for the meal you're in, that's okay. But to leave it for longer than that, long term, then that will be asa. That's really like preserving, pickling. According to the Magen Avraham Nataz, even if you plan on eating it that same day after you salt it, you salted the cooked meat or salted cooked egg, and you planned on eating it that same day, it was only going to be for a later meal. You need to be careful because salting it looks like you're preserving it. That's if the second meal is a long time after the first meal. It means you can have a meal straight after. And it doesn't seem to be a problem. It's only for the later meal in the day that we're concerned. That's the opinions of the Taz and the Magen Avraham. Aval Eli Rabba, Metzadei De'in Le'esorak Im B'da'ato Laniach La'ach HaShabbos. According to Eli Rabba, it's only really a problem when you salt it, planning on leaving the meat or egg until after Shabbos. But anything on Shabbos itself, even if it's, let's say, done on Friday night for Shabbos day, you're planning on eating it Shabbos day, there's no problem to salt the meat or the egg. V'chei Mashma Rabbi Agua. The Gra seems to go like the Eli Rabba. Befrat im ha'eis cham, especially if it's a hot time, if you know what that is, kein kedei l'shlo yatzirich, and he's only salting it to stop it from rotting. He's not salting it to preserve it long term. He's just salting it because he wants to stop it rotting. That's okay to salt for Shabbos itself. Bevadish la'kel ha'sech surache, for a later meal, it's definitely okay. The gam, ha'taz matter, but even the taz allows for a later meal. You go out to rely on basically to salt it for a later meal, as you're just doing it to stop it rotting. Okay, basa oy dag chai. If you have raw meat or raw fish, you're not allowed to salt those things to stop them from rotting. We didn't have fridges in those days, freezers in those days. So what do you do with a raw piece of fish or raw piece of meat to stop it from rotting? Well, basically on Shabbos, you can't put salt on it. You're not allowed to do that. That's called preserving. But even if you're going to lose out because of it, they're going to be lost, they're going to be ruined, and you won't have them and losing money, it's still asa. And even in fact, if you plan, you're salting it to be able to eat it after you salt it raw, it's still asa. Even though you do plan on eating it almost immediately. Because even though on a Torah level, we don't say that there's the issa to preserve or to tan, meaning the malacha that we're concerned about is tanning leather. You put salt on leather to dry it out, whatever, to turn the skins into something usable and preserve it long term. Even though generally by food, we say there's no issa doraisa to preserve them, which is what he's talking about now. Mikol mokim asa de mischazikei, but still asa over here because it looks like you are tanning. Because the salt is now kind of preparing the food and improving the food, and just like it does to the skins, that's why it looks like tanning, and it's awesome. But what you can do, now basically you've got this raw meat, you're not allowed to salt it, so what are you allowed to do? You are allowed to wash it. You can rinse the meat, that you'll be able to then eat it later raw. We spoke about it many times, people would chew on raw meat in those days. So if you want to be able to eat cooked meat, you're going to have to kasher it first. But if you want to eat raw meat, all you got to do is just wash off the surface blood. The blood is like external blood. And even though there's blood on inside the meat, you're still allowed to chew it. You're still allowed to eat it. As long as you don't have any blood on the surface that it looks like you're eating. So here, you're allowed to wash off the blood from the outside of this raw piece of meat in order to be able to chew on the meat on Shabbos later. Ve'ein ze mekitikun, and washing off that meat is not called some type of a preparation or improvement. She'ein atikun beguf habasa, you're not really improving the actual meat. And she'madicha mishum dam ba'ayin shalav, what you're doing is kind of removing the surface blood. You're taking the blood off. You're not really doing something to the meat. You're doing something to the blood, so to speak. Taking that blood off, so you don't end up eating this blood. So that's okay to wash. You're allowed to wash raw meat in order to be able to chew on it raw. Mikol makom nira da'asa ladiach habasa shvenimlach. However, in a case, you'll get your head around this case, where if you have meat that was not yet salted, you're not allowed to wash it when the third day after the Shechita is on Shabbos, you're not allowed to wash off the blood. There's a din, if you're going to explain, there's a din that once 3 days have passed since the Shechita, you're not allowed to cook the meat, right? You have to. Right. If you wait 3 days after Shechita, even if you kasher it, you're not allowed to boil it. You're only allowed to put it on the fire. Right. You're allowed to barbecue it, whatever, roast it. That's such a din. Right. The din is, I'll say it again. The din is that when you have a person shechted an animal and you got meat now, you're not. If you've already waited 3 days without kashering it, you can't now kasher it and then cook the meat. All you can do now is you could kasher it, but all you can do now is roast the meat. You're not allowed to boil the meat. Because the blood on the inside has already kind of sealed up, so to speak, on the inside of the meat, and cooking it will just mean you're eating blood. Masha Enkin, if you roast it, when you roast meat, it actually causes all the blood inside to drain off and drip off, and therefore, even if you didn't salt it, you didn't kasher it, you're allowed, technically, you're allowed to actually roast meat without kashering it first, and that's what we're talking about over here. So the point is that he says that you're not allowed to wash meat on the third day after the Shechita, to stop it go beyond 3 days, that you won't be allowed to boil it. Since you don't plan on eating it today, so there's no point in washing it. Meaning, as we said before, to wash it to eat it today is okay, but to wash it for after Shabbos is not okay. People don't usually eat meat raw, so why is he washing it? Look, it's clear that he's doing it to be able to eat it after Shabbos. But I feel like any Yehudi osel adich, and even to have a non-Jew do that would not be allowed. Shein kan hesek, because it's not such a major loss. Because if you don't wash it in the first 3 days, what are we going to tell you to do now? Have you lost the meat? No, you haven't lost the meat. You just are lost one of the choices of how you're going to cook it. You're not allowed to boil it anymore. You're only allowed to roast it. That is not called a loss. That's not called a financial loss. Because you might not be able to boil it, but you can still roast it. Again, in the first 3 days, as long as you kasher in the first 3 days, you're allowed to boil it. If you waited 3 days, then even if you kasher it, you're not allowed to boil it anymore. You can only roast it. So the guy's trying to get around this problem and washing off the blood before the end of the third day, so that he'll then be able to boil it after Shabbos. That's not allowed, and rather it's not considered such a loss because you can just roast it after Shabbos anyway, even if you didn't wash it in the first 3 days. Now we're talking here about an individual in his own home. Aval, but we're talking about a butcher, he's selling large quantities of meat to other people. For sure, for him, if he'd be selling meat and he's gonna have to make a condition on tell everyone who buys his meat, you can only roast it, you can't boil it, that's already a major financial loss for him. And therefore, we would allow a butcher to ask a goy to do it, you can have a goy wash it in order that he won't lose his ability to sell it as regular meat. For two mice, onto the left column now, and same thing goes with fattened geese. That if you, again, the same story, if you're going to wait 3 days and now you're not going to be able to boil it, you're only going to be able to roast it, and by roasting it, you're going to lose the geschmack of fat of the goose meat by roasting it. People want it boiled. People want to eat boiled goose meat. They don't want to eat roasted goose meat, because roasted goose meat loses a lot of its fat when you roast it. So that's considered to be a loss, a financial loss, so to speak, to the quality of the meat, if we're going to tell you you're not allowed to treat it on Shabbos on the third day. Therefore, you can't do it yourself, but what you can do, even according to Magen Avraham, is to ask a goy to come to your home and do it. And even when it comes to regular, not goose meat, but even regular, let's say cow's meat, many achrenim agree that you can be lenient to have a goy rinse it when it's on the third day to make sure that you'll be able to still cook it after Shabbos. I'm only allowed it in the for the case of the goose meat, but many achorim allow in any regular meat. Again, the din is that if you don't wash off the external blood in the first 3 days, you won't be allowed to boil it anymore. So according to Magen Avraham, that's not called a financial loss. It's only a financial loss if it occurred with goose meat, because if it's goose meat, then limiting you by telling you you're only allowed to roast it and not boil it means you've really taken off of the, you know, quality of the experience of eating the goose meat has really gone down. But regular meats, Magen Avraham is not meikel, although many achorinim are, to have a goy wash the meat on the third day, which is Shabbos. So I'm Eli Rabba, but Shabbos no Debi Yehuda Shikosu. These two achorinim write to him, Eshe Alidei and Yehudi, that if there's no possibility of having a goy wash it, Mutu Gam Alidei Yisor, even a Jew could do it. A Jew could wash the meat if there's no goy. Ach im munach b'basa habasa b'kli. However, if the meat is placed inside some type of a container, rather than kind of directly wash the meat, which looks bad, it's better to like wash your hands over the meat, like this, clearly wash your hands, and you put your hands over the meat in this container, and the water will go down to the container and kind of soak the meat, and that will be a better way of doing it. It doesn't look directly like you're doing a malacha or doing an issur d'rabanan. Okay, moving on to Sif Vav on page Kuf Memches. Ein limloyach biyachad harbe polim va'adoshim shenizbashlu beklipasam. You're not allowed to salt together many beans or lentils that were cooked in their skins. So this is not much of a chiddush according to what we learned today. It's another example, because we already saw large quantities you can't salt together of different vegetables. Says the Mishnah Berurah of Kan Chav Beis, beklipasam, in their shells. The amalicha mayila lahem v'havei kekvisha v'ebud, because there salting will really have an effect, and it's like pickling and preserving, which is asa. Siv Zayin, we're going to do today, will be the last one for this week. Siv Zayin. And now we're moving on from salting to talk about grinding. Different, Meleches Teichen starting here. Mutter, Shulchan Aruch Zayin. Mutter laduch pilpilin, you're allowed to crush peppercorns. I feel a habe yachad, even many at the same time. V'hu sheyuduchem b'kata she'osakin u'v'ka'ora, as long as you crush them with the handle of a knife and or, depends how you translate it, with a bowl. So you're basically doing a shinui. You have to work out what the shinui is, how it works. But if you're allowed to crush a number of peppercorns at the same time, as long as you do it with some type of shinui that we described, like using the handle of a knife, u'v'ka'ora, and in a bowl or with a bowl, we'll have to see what this means. Says Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Chof Gimel. Mutter, you can crush the peppercorns. The imhu sheichek pilpilin. If a person would grind peppercorns or shah tavern or the other spices, but machtesh is kadakwe in the regular way with a proper grinder, I feel a gauge echad, even just one peppercorn. Yesh boy issa deraisa mishim toichen. There's an issa. It's a deraisa issa of grinding. Taking a grinder and grinding a peppercorn is a malacha deraisa. So somehow or other, with the shinui, with this change that the Shulchanoch describes, it's become mutter. How is that? So that's the next, we're going to discuss that. Chof Dalad. I feel a haba yachad. You can even crush many peppercorns together. The dafka mashit tzarech leilo is a Shabbos. But he just points out, as always, that only you only have to crush what you need for Shabbos. Because to do it for after Shabbos, that will be the problem of preparing for after Shabbos, which is Nesed Rabon. So you can crush peppercorns with a shinoi, but only enough, the amount that you need for Shabbos. Now, what's this shinoi all about? Sifkot and chofei. Uvaka'ora. Now, what does it mean, uvaka'ora? We said you have to use the handle of a knife, uvaka'ora, and a bowl, or with a bowl, in a bowl, not sure. What does this mean? There's two different approaches in the Achorinim. So, Peirush, avaloi yaduch b'kata she'a sakina b'machteshes. Even if you're using the handle of a knife, don't crush the peppercorn into a mortar, right, into a grinding bowl. Means the receptacle needs to be different to normal. Not just the way you grind, but where you grind into. Don't use even if you're using a handle of a knife to crush the peppercorn, don't crush it into a grinding bowl. After shina b'mashadach b'katushkin, even though it's true the way you ground it was with a shinui, you did it in an unusual way because you used a handle of a knife. But if you are using a grinding bowl, mechse kuv d'chol, it looks like weekday activity, which is an esdra bon. So you could also, if you want, grind with the handle of a knife, but directly onto a table. Or you could use the bottom of a kli, that's the kawa, and the other way in the word, a pshat in the word kawa, or to take the bottom of a kli, take a bowl, say some ceramic bowl, and use the bottom of the bowl to crush the peppercorn and do it onto a table. To have a tray shinui, because then you're making two shinuis, two changes. You're using the way you're crushing the shinui and what you're doing into the shinui, and that's the way to go. Aval babuchna ham yuchedes lekatisha, but to use a pestle, like this thing you hold, this implement you hold to actually crush with. Even if to do it onto a table or into a regular bowl, will be also, even though the receptacle is not a grinding receptacle, but the way you're grinding is a regular thing. You're using a pestle to grind. That's a normal way of grinding. That will be also. Kosova Taz, the Simon there. The Taz writes in a kind of tangential point here about grinding. Ein lasum apilpilin toicha beged. Don't put peppercorns into a wrapped in a garment. And then to use a knife to crush the peppercorns inside the garment. Why? Because you're going to put the smell of the peppercorns into the fabric. Being moiled reich is an issur drabon. To create a smell in something is an issur drabon. Om number simon tofkuf yud aleph oitaches betav mashmad. The chazam is there. However, although it's true, the Taz said you can't do it into this cloth, but elsewhere, look at the Taz actually retracted. The hiskim le marshal, and he actually comes out like the Rav Shlomo Luria, to showi mishum de'ein mechavon lezeh, that since your intent, when you crush it in the cloth, you're not trying to make the cloth smell, you're just trying to stop the peppercorn going everywhere. That's what you're doing inside the cloth. Then since you're not mischavein, you're not trying to make the smell, it's okay. Ayin shom. So ultimately, it doesn't look like it's so terrible to put the smell in something because you're not intending to do it, and therefore it's okay. There's a bit of an askamina, let's say, just a side point about putting on deodorant on Shabbos. If you spray deodorant and it goes on your garment, then depends. If you're directly spraying onto your garment to make your garment smell, then we see from here there's an issa called moyed reyach. If you're doing it per enemus kavin, it looks like he's coming out. If you tried to do it on your skin and a bit went onto the garment or your shirt or something, or it went from your skin onto the shirt and you weren't trying to do that, then it looks like we would be able to be mekel. Kosra achreinim, finishing off now. Kosra achreinim, the dafka bakata the sakina hu dehitiru laduch behorin. Only when you're using the handle of a knife do we permit you to crush the peppercorns we've been speaking about. Aval achteich oisam basakin, dak also, but to take a knife and to chop up peppercorns or the like, with the blade into tiny pieces, that will be asa. Onto page 296, we come over here, like we find by vegetables, you can't use the vegetable to dice and chop up vegetables into small pieces. The kaman sifyud beef, buadin, the kol tavern, same thing applies to any type of spice. You can't use a knife to chop them up into small pieces. Abkan.